Happy Friday, everybody. We made it to another weekend. Let's kick it off a little bit early with some fun Disney talk. Ricky and Pam are standing by. We can't wait to talk Disney with you, but first, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. When it comes time for that next Disney adventure, and I know it's on the horizon for you, whether it's heading out to Disneyland, traveling on an Adventures by Disney. We don't talk about that much, but they're awesome, awesome, amazing Disney experiences. You can also sail with the Disney Cruise Line, or I bet you're planning to head down to Walt Disney World. Regardless, work with the best. They're a platinum earmarked agency over at the Magic for Less, which means they have been recognized by Disney for being the best of the best. There's a great, incredible summer offer out there. Get down there this summer to see the new Toy Story Land. Lots of new experiences as well. It's a great time to visit. Long park hours, you got great pool weather, and there are some savings to be had. So drop by themagicforless.com today. Check out all the great specials. And while you're there, fill out that free, no obligation quote. And of course, let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast, and you and I are going to be working together to plan an incredible summer vacation. Check them out today. They're over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link this weekend as you do your online shopping. It's over at beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Everything will be the same. It'll take you straight to Amazon. You can do that shopping, and we'll get a little bit of a kickback from Amazon to help support the show. So again, please bookmark it on all your devices. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1315 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Friday to you. Welcome to the weekend. I'm catching a Southwest jet down to Central Florida in just a couple of days on Sunday morning. So follow along on the Instagram and the Twitter at BeOurGuestMike. Lots of fun adventures. I'll have a lot of time to post and kind of walk you around with all the stuff I'm doing. It's going to be exciting, so join me for that. Can't wait to get out of the cold weather. Actually, it's turned warmer here in St. Louis just in time for me to head to Florida, but apparently on Sunday, back to highs in the 40s, so I'm getting down to Florida where it's going to be nice and warm and have some palm trees. So I'm excited for that. But today, of course, we got a great show, and I hope you brought a snack because we're recording this one hungry. I'll give you a little behind the scenes. We're all three really, really hungry as we're recording. And this is just going to make it immeasurably worse. I mean, this is going to be brutal, but we're going to do it for you. We're going to get through. We're going to help you plan some new dining experiences for your next Walt Disney World vacation. Because I know we tend to go to the same places over and over because we have our favorites. You know, I love going to 50s. I love going to, actually, I know Ricky kind of joned on it on Friday's show, but I like Backlot Express. I like going to get my chicken and waffles with Darth Vader in them. That's something cool about that. But, you know, we're gonna give you some other options to consider to add on to your repertoire of Disney dining. So joining me today from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and the Mouse for Less, we have Ricky. Ricky, welcome to the weekend. What's up?
Yeah, so I'm still going to be here in Atlanta. So that's kind of a bummer for me. But it is supposed to be gorgeous this weekend. So hopefully I'll get to do some stuff outside. So that's kind of my goal is to go outside and, you know, have fun.
No senior pictures under bridges with graffiti. Let's keep that to the 18-year-olds.
I can't promise, but I think I'll be able to manage that. I mean, you know, we do exciting things in our household, like rearrange the garage, which is what we did last weekend.
Hey, so. You guys have all the fun. I always say that, you know, Brian and Ricky, all the fun.
Totally. 100% all the fun. Yeah.
All right. Also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. Pam, see you in about 36 hours down in the Sunshine State.
It's crazy. We're going to be having fun. We're going to be learning. Honing our
skills. Wait. Learning? Fun's cool. I got out of teaching. I'm a done learning. No, just kidding. I'm always here to learn.
So you'll see. And Mike will actually be photographed in the Universal Parks and Resorts.
I'm wearing a,
I don't even know what kind of mask. I'm going to have some kind of disguise.
You'll probably like it way more than you thought you would. So anyways, but yeah, we'll be doing a little learning on World and Universal and Cruise, and it'll be a good time, though. It's always good to get some of the team together. I think that that's an interesting thing about what we do, is that we all don't get to spend that kind of time together very often. So it's a good thing. Looking forward to it.
It is, because, you know, I'm excited to meet the people, because it is all about the people. And so we're going to have a good time. You know, some of these folks I've worked with for years, and, you know, I know them by email addresses and by voices and phone calls, but we're going to get to share, you know, some time in the parks, both at Universal and Walt Disney World, and some meals and stuff like that. So really excited for that. It's going to be a good time. All right. So today, let's get to the meat of this this podcast, because we're talking about food. We do that quite often here, because an essential part of your Walt Disney World vacation is where you're going to have those meals, whether it's a counter service place, you know, a snack, having a, you know, a nice round table there with your family, or even going signature and having a really more fancy dinner than you may have anywhere else back home. And Walt Disney World offers so many options when it comes to dining, you know, snacky and just going all the way up to a place like Victoria and Albert's that you probably don't have in your town. But today we're going to go over four places quickly that maybe are not on your radar, because obviously some of these places have not opened quite yet, but they will be this summer. And some of these places recently opened, but maybe they're just something you haven't considered because you just haven't heard about them or really given them much thought. So we're going to start off with Woody's Lunchbox over in Toy Story Land, which will open with the land June 30th, 2018. So here in just a couple of months, we're excited for this. And let me just tell you, this menu came out this past week. It came out on Monday, I believe, or Sunday night. And when I saw this, because I'll be honest, I'm kind of a picky eater. I'm like a meat and potatoes kind of guy. Man, they must have consulted with me on this menu, because I will eat everything on this menu. And I can't say that about hardly any places at Walt Disney World. So, Ricky, walk us through the offerings and what the experience is going to be like, what we think it's going to be like at Woody's Lunchbox.
So Woody's Lunchbox is basically themed to, Andy has taken his vintage Woody themed lunchbox and has propped it open with a thermos and has turned it into a walk-up window. So that's what this dining location is going to be. It's going to be like a walk-up window. And it's going to offer breakfast and then lunch and dinner. And it's going to have a separate menu for both. So there are some amazing things that are on this menu. Let me tell you, like for breakfast, I am super excited about the S'mores French toast breakfast sandwich. It's got chocolate ganache and marshmallow stuffed French toast topped with graham cracker crumbles. Mm. Oh my goodness. Like, I can't even tell you how delicious that sounds.
Dang it.
So yeah, there's also a smoked turkey, eggs, and Swiss and peppers and onions on a sourdough sandwich for breakfast as well. There's a breakfast bowl of potato barrels, which are tater tots, brisket county gravy, and scrambled eggs. Then for lunch slash dinner, they're having a barbecue brisket melt, which is going to be a Texas smoked brisket with cheddar Monterey Jack, pickles, and barbecue sauce, and a garlic butter grilled sourdough bun.
Man.
A Monte Cristo with raspberry jam, which is going to be ham, turkey, Swiss, and raspberry jam on, I'm guessing, also a sourdough sandwich bun. Tachos, hooray!
Yes.
And potato barrels with corn chips, chili, and cheese. I am all in, and now I regret that I did not have this for lunch today, because I have all of these ingredients. So, sad day for Ricky. They also have a raspberry lunchbox tart, which is going to be kind of like a Pop-Tart. They have a dried fruit version and a chocolate hazelnut version. So that sounds kind of interesting. And then there's also going to be, this sounds quite delicious too, the banana split yogurt parfait, which is banana vanilla yogurt with a hint of honey, fresh bananas, strawberries, and pineapple topped with granola and chocolate chips. I'm all in for that. There's also a smoked turkey, tomato, and lettuce on a multigrain bread. And then there are soda floats as well. So ice cream and soda mixed together. And then there's this adorable little alien sipper, which
I love the alien sipper.
Oh my gosh, he's so cute. I kind of want
really
one.
Is. I'm not really a cup person, but when I saw that, I was like, oh, that's way cuter, I think, than the rose cups.
Remember? Yes.
So, like, definitely. I was like, I don't know, that's like a cup with a rose, but this has a little alien and the claw.
It has the claw. I love the claw.
That's
and
adorable.
It lights up green. So that's pretty awesome. Yeah.
I know. That'll be great.
So, Ricky, did you mention the grilled three cheese sandwich, too? I mean, we're always looking
for
a good grilled cheese.
No, I forgot about that one. Oh, my gosh. That sounds Oh, it sounds so amazing. Like, I'm totally, Brian and I are just going to pig out the entire first day that we're in Toy Story Land. We're not going anywhere else. I'm literally just going to plant my butt on a chair outside of Woody's lunchbox.
Well, knowing Disney fans, I think the line might be longer for this stand than the Slinky Dog coaster, because this is just, the thing is, here's the thing with Disney, because I think they go to extremes many, many times where they'll try to really make a stand or a quick service restaurant very adventurous, you know, kind of like when Skipper Canteen opened. It was very, and I give them credit for this, they gave it a shot, and the menu kind of didn't hit with a lot of Americans, especially, you know, especially if you have kids. It was just like, well, that's interesting. I don't know if we're going to order that. This, I mean, this is one of those places, as a parent of somebody who has kids that eat picky, like, I can get anything on this menu and I'm really going to be happy. But my kids are going to find something there, two or three different things that they're really going to like. So, Pam, what do you say about this menu? I think Disney's nailed it. This is going to be super popular.
I agree. All the food really looks good. It looks like it's not your standard. It's so funny when people are like, well, am I going to be able to get more than burgers and hot dogs at Disney World? And I always think to myself, yeah, there actually aren't that many locations. Mm-hmm. Burgers, yeah. Hot dogs, yeah. But, I mean, most of the counter service restaurants offer way more than that. And this looks just so good. First of all, it's going to be themed, which is going to be super cute. I love that they have breakfast because not everyone has breakfast. And then the choices that they have are really, really so unique. The fact that they have the Monte Cristo, only it's not the deep fried version like you get at Disneyland. It's different. It has a little sourdough on it. And that, you know, kind of makes it different. That looks great, but I love that they have these choices there for us. The desserts are not your standard chocolate or carrot cake.
Yes.
Cake in a cup. They're yes. not those. There's something totally different. I love that. And I love that they're really trying to theme the food with the land. I think one of the things that Disney has done well in the last few years as they've rolled out and redone counter service locations is they're really trying to give us more unique food, more options. All the restaurants seem to have a healthy option. We didn't talk about the one there, but I'm sure that there's something.
Why would we talk about the health here? I want the s'mores.
Because we like saw that salad and we're like, whatever.
Whatever, salad.
We're like the kids in the Christmas story that throw the socks like behind them with the salad. But no, I'm sure there's going to be something there for folks looking for something healthier. But this just looks like fun. And that's a cool thing.
Yeah, Cheddar's always get the Monte Cristo and it's so good. And it sounds exactly like it there. And back where I used to play baseball, there's a place called WeHop here in St. Louis that we had something called Pepper Bellies, and it was Fritos on the bottom with chili and cheese and queso and stuff on top of them. But these tachos, man, it's like taking the Pepper Belly to the next level. And I have a resolution for all of our listeners. From now on, we call tater tots potato barrels. Everybody has to kind of take that movement in Woody's Lunchbox Land there, and we're going to all call them potato barrels. So when you order them at your local bar, I would like a side of potato barrels. Though.
Yeah, tachos. I'm all in.
Whew, I need some tachos right about now.
I'm so mad I did not make those today now for lunch.
I'm so mad. Yeah, if you make tachos here before Woody's Lunchbox opens, please put those on Instagram and hashtag BOGP, because that's actually a hashtag you can follow and it'll pop up. I want to see somebody make some awesome tachos as we wait for June 30th. All right, let's head over to Ale and Compass over at Disney's Yacht Club Resort. This used to be called Captain's Grill. Back in the day, one of our favorite kind of hidden gems, you know, especially on a Run Disney race morning, I'd like to sneak in there and get a good breakfast. We've had a couple meals here since as a group. A lot of us ate there over a marathon weekend, and there's also a lot to be said here. So, Pam, start us off with Ale and Compass. Give us a quick overview of the changeover from Captain's Grill to Ale and Compass, and walk us through what you would see when you go there.
Well, first of all, it's like Captain's Grill has grown up into an adult. And it has a tad more sophistication. Now, this is not going to be the most sophisticated place, but it looks great. Like Captain's Grill is all dressed up, I'm just saying. Looks fantastic, looks more contemporary, looks more like what a good restaurant should look like, I think. When you walk in, you see lots of great colors in here, and I love the redo. We've had breakfast here a couple times, really loved it. They just have some great options. And I hate to even talk this up too much because the breakfast is so good there. Like, I don't want other people making it hard right? for me to continue to roll up and get
breakfast
there.
Please don't go here because I want my breakfast.
I mean, it's good breakfast, but don't go. No, I'm just exactly. kidding. I want you all to go and have a good time.
I don't.
I'll even tell you what to order. How about that? So they have some great choices for breakfast. They have a red flannel hash, right, with chorizo and a poached egg. So good. Ham and cheese omelet, a roasted vegetable omelet, a breakfast pie, which is, I talked about this in the past podcast, but it really is a pizza pie when we're talking about it. And it has the dippy egg, as we talked about. So I've had that actually, I think I've eaten here three times and I think I've had that. I might have had that all three times.
All three times, yes.
I know that's wrong. I make my family get other things so I can like take a bite of it and try it. But then I stick with the one that I like. I'm like, I know what I like. I don't have to make a change to that. So it was good. They have an American breakfast, which is eggs and potatoes and some breakfast meat, things like that. They have a smoked trout spread, which is served with coddled egg and a pickled vegetable. They have grilled oat cakes, which is a form of pancake. They have blueberry bacon pancakes, which Steve got or Hannah got at some point. I'm just saying, they are so good. Really good. The combination of blueberries and bacon, awesome. They have a salted caramel apple French toast, mm-hmm. open-faced skirt steak sandwich, which is also served with a poached egg. I've tried that as well. That was really good. A breakfast protein bowl, breakfast breads, and a seasonal fruit plate, as well as a cornbread waffle with strawberry orange compote and a lemon ricotta and basil sugar. So really good. They also have great options for kids, including the Mickey-shaped waffles, which are always a favorite on any kid's menu. So it's, you know, we were impressed with breakfast. Like I said, we'll be back. And then the Ale and Compass lunch menu and the dinner menu, they're a little different, but basically the same. I'll just go over a few highlights with that. They have, for dinner, they have a Disney Ale and Compass chicken and waffles, which was really good. They have a short rib. They have trout. They have a ravioli. They have, again, the hearth oven pies. And again, these pies there are pizza pies. They are not like a pot pie or something like that. I was wondering about, you know, whether that was there or not. They have a few specialty cocktails, which are exclusive to their restaurant and not on the standard bar menu that you'll find everywhere else. So you may want to check one of those out too. But again, I think that we're seeing a lot of different things here at Ale and Compass. I think they're trying to get fresh ingredients. They're trying to get local ingredients. And they have a lot of great things to choose from. So it's a good place to stop by.
I will say too, especially for breakfast, this is a good combination for an Epcot morning. You know, say you want to go into World Showcase when it opens, you could start off with a nice breakfast at Ale and Compass, you know, say like a 8:30, 9 o'clock ADR, have a leisurely breakfast, walk into the International Gateway, you know, maybe 10:30, and you know, World Showcase is getting ready to open, to stroll leisurely, and you're right there. I think, you know, take advantage of those dining opportunities around the Epcot Resort area where you can combine that. You know, of course, Epcot has lots of great places to eat as well. But I think, you know, a lot of folks are looking for something new, you know, something different on their next Disney vacation. This is a place that has recently opened in the last year. And Pam, I know you're a big fan. We had dinner there and I had the fried chicken and waffles. Now, this place is kind of right down the middle in pricing. But I'll say, mm-hmm. you know, again, I'm kind of cheap and a lot of times I will buy some of the cheaper things on the menu. The chicken and waffles was really good and it was $18 for the entree for dinner.
It was a big portion.
Now, some of the breakfast menus or items are more than that. You know, if you get a fancy breakfast item, it'll be $19 or $20. So that entree at dinner for the chicken and waffles at $18 was a steal to me. And it was, more importantly, it was a good meal. So I think the thing is, you got to kind of look at the menu. The prices vary pretty widely on this menu at dinner. But, you know, try things. I think that, again, this is a menu that has some fancier things, but also some of the things that the folks who don't want to get too crazy with, you know, thinking outside the box with their meal, they can find something here too.
Yeah, it is. And they have some good desserts, which I neglected to mention, but I think that's a good thing to consider when you're on the dining plan in particular, you're going to get a dessert with that. So make sure you check that out. They have a mini macaroon ice cream sandwich and a honey marshmallow s'mores, with dried strawberries, and then a vanilla chia pudding with a banana brulee. So, I mean, it's not just your standard fare. They've done a good job. They have lots of things that kids will like on the kids' menus. And I think it's worth a shot for sure.
So how would you describe the atmosphere of Ale and Compass? Because to me, it seemed, again, I don't go to a lot of real fancy restaurants. It seemed modern is what I would say. It seemed kind of dark, like for a restaurant, and I don't go to a lot of, fancy restaurants, but not dark in a bad negative way, but it was just, it just seemed very modern and it seemed fancy to me. But I know that people have different opinions on what is fancy and so forth.
So I think it really does have a much more contemporary and updated look. There's a lot of dark navy and some grays and things like that. Those are the sort of the color schemes in the restaurant. And I think that really fits in with the yacht club theme. I think they were really aware of that. And it's reminiscent to me of those lovely new yacht club rooms that they use a lot of navy and grays and whites and things like that. So it is definitely more contemporary. It's sort of dark in a loungy kind of way, not too dark that you can't see your food and you need to get your iPhone out to read the menu. And I know that's a concern sometimes at a restaurant. Mike, I'm sure that you do it.
I know. I'm getting my AARP card here soon, apparently from Wednesday. So I got to do that,
But it's not that dark. It was an update that was really sorely needed, I feel, in this restaurant. And they did a great job.
Yeah. Again, they have to freshen places up. Well, I know, Ricky, especially this falls on you. You were a huge fan of Captain's Grill, and I kind of followed your lead, and I was a fan of it too in its final year or two. I really enjoyed the breakfast there because it was kind of an a la carte / buffet option. It was really kind of a hybrid. But what are your thoughts? Have you been here since it's reopened? I can't remember. Were you there for Marathon Weekend?
I had been there for during Marathon Weekend. I had now they don't have, and I'm gonna harp on it again, my delicious chocolate waffles that they can totally put back on the menu any day now. I'm just saying. I did have the salted caramel apple French toast, and I thought that was very good. It was not overly sweet. It was very delicious and the apple wasn't like the pie filling apple, which is kind of what I was expecting. It was a little more tart than the pie filling apple usually is. So that was kind of a surprise to me, but it all kind of melded together nicely. So I enjoyed my breakfast, and I'll probably get the French toast again, or maybe try something else. But, like Mike, and like Pam, actually, I'm pretty, when I find something on a menu that I know I like, I'm like, let's go. And I get it all every time. So,
That's it. That's me. But when I like something, that's why I love Las Fuentes. I don't have to order. Like, they know I need the number 4 or it's going to be fajitas if I'm crazy. It's one of those two items. So, all right, let's head to the third stop of our 4 city tour here today when it comes to restaurants. And this is a place that I haven't been to. And it's really, I think we need to talk about this because, Pam, you've been there. And it's very curious, I think, for a lot of guests. I think that's the best word I can come up with for the Edison, because I kind of don't really know. Like, is it, I don't know. Like, the only thing I know about it is that they serve bacon on what looks like drying racks, and that looks awesome. I mean, I've seen pictures of that. That's really all I know, and that it's kind of steampunk weird looking. I don't know. So walk us through Edison. If people are just like, what's that all about? Help people decide if they want to go there this summer.
It absolutely is. They're calling it steam. It's like a steampunk theme or industrial gothic is, I believe, the way that the Edison actually describes that. And it is open for lunch and dinner. It's kind of loungy. After a certain point, you actually have to pay a cover charge. Certain times of the night, they have a show, all of that. So consider that if you're planning on going later in the evening. So when you walk into the Edison, you see kind of this industrial look, and you actually walk downstairs most of the time to get to where you're seating. There's a few areas to seat on that main floor, but most everything is taking place downstairs. And it's kind of dark in there and interesting. They have interesting art up on the wall, and the whole thing is really very industrial looking. But they have some great options for food. Again, this is someplace that is serving some interesting things. We stopped for lunch, and I actually got a tomato soup and grilled cheese. Yum. It was really good. I mean, the whole thing, it just had all these different cheeses on it and was really sort of stretchy and stringy, just the way you want cheese to be. So it was really yummy. And the tomato soup was great too. But the thing that I think that we were all walking away being really impressed with was the fact that we felt that their cocktails were really good, like really interesting and very good. And they seem to really know what they're doing. I talked to my server and I said, you know, I don't really like things that are sweet. You know, what can you recommend for me? And she recommends something that I was kind of like, oh, I don't know whether I'm going to like it. But then I'm like, you know what? I'm going to trust her because she's had these, she's tried them, and it was great. It was really great when we watched the bartender make it, and it was just really well crafted. But I think that's the beauty of this place. This can be kind of a loungy place too. When you're talking about the things that they have in terms of the appetizer menu, I would be perfectly happy going here and getting a drink and an appetizer. I mean, we talked about the clothesline of candied bacon, and it's actually on a clothesline with little like clips and things like that. It was very good. And they also have things like deviled eggs, corn dogs, lamb meatballs, electrifries, which have the Edison special sauce on them, as well as bacon and blue cheese and chopped green onions. They have an ahi tuna poke and fried calamari, all in that appetizer category. So that's awesome. They do have entree salads, which are great choices too. They have lots and lots of specials, including, Mike, they have a meatloaf and gravy.
See, this, let me stop you here because I have to ask you about it, because this is one of those places that I haven't been there yet, but I can't wrap my head around what it is. Because when you mention things like candied bacon, meatloaf, you know, tomato soup and a grilled cheese, you know, it sounds like a, almost like a homecoming type menu, you know, like comfort food or like comfortable basic foods. But then you have this steampunk atmosphere and you got like a club at night. I mean, like is this a place you go like as a couple on a date? Is this a family place? I mean, what is the demographic of this? It seems like it's really all over the place. And you're mentioning some fancy stuff too. Like it's everywhere. It's got, I don't know what to think of this place.
It is. And I think that's what's fun about it. I think first of all, you know, if I were taking kids, I'd be going for lunch or I'd be going early evening. If I were going, you know, for a romantic time or with a group of adults, I would really go anytime and really kind of base what I want to order off of what we're doing. Are we doing a loungy thing and having drinks and apps? Are we going to sit for a full dinner? Because that's available too. I mean, and you're right. It does have things like meatloaf and tomato soup, but it also has things like crisp fried chicken with creme fraiche and chive mashed potatoes. I mean, that's a little fancier, you know, mashed potato thing, or a jumbo lump crab cake with papaya mango salad and a grainy mustard sauce. I mean, then they also have some dry aged prime rib, which of course is going to be pricier, but a great option. And you're right that then that kind of brings them this way on the menu,
I'm
right?
So more confused. Yeah, exactly. I mean, is this like a fancy place or, I mean, it's got meatloaf. Is it 50s prime time? What is this place? And it's like,
do I do
the robot? Do I wear goggles when I go in? Like, do I wear a Mickey shirt? I am so confused. This place is just an enigma. I have no idea what this place is about. Like I try to figure it out.
That's what people like about it. You know, when you're talking about a show where it has, you know, people being suspended from the ceiling in the evening. I mean, you know, that's a real show. That's a real show in addition to the music and stuff like that. But to have that kind of show, it's described as sort of being like burlesque, but not too burlesque because we are in Disney, mind you, but a burlesque like show in the evenings on weekends on certain nights. So you have to check that out. But there, I think that this menu is so wide and varied. I think what so many contemporary restaurants are doing is they're taking something we're familiar with, like meatloaf, and putting a little twist on it to make sure that it's something that we can all identify with. And we'll think to ourselves, well, I know what meatloaf is, but this is a little bit of a kicked up meatloaf. But I mean, you still really like meatloaf. Just saying. This one is bacon wrapped and it has a spicy ketchup glaze.
Oh, man, you got me at that.
You got Mike. You won.
You took meatloaf and you added bacon. I don't think you can go too wrong.
Yeah, forget about dancers coming down on ropes. I could care less about that, man. I'll be focused on that meatloaf with the bacon and the spicy ketchup.
Mike will be like, there were dancers?
Exactly. I also have ketchup all over my chin. So, Ricky, seriously, a legit question here, though, because I wonder about places like this, okay? Because, again, I haven't gone there. Of course, it hasn't been open that long. But it's because when I don't know what to expect, it kind of makes me a little uneasy. You know, maybe I'm the typical Midwesterner, you know, and you are too, and Pam, you are as well. I mean, we're kind of like middle of America type people where if I don't know what I'm getting myself into, and when Pam talks about dancers coming down on ropes, I mean, like, you know, and I know it's a Disney thing. It's not gonna be crazy, but I'm just saying, like, I don't know if I want like Lanuba, you know, coming down on top of my potato barrels, you know, or fancy potato barrels, you know, whatever I'm having there, you know, corn dog, whatever. Ricky, is this place going to be around in 5 years? I mean, is this a place people will not go to just for the fact that, like, kind of like me, if I don't know what I'm getting myself into, I might just go down to the boathouse or go to homecoming. I don't know.
I think that you are focusing too much on the
environment, maybe.
Not the crazy, because it's not really crazy. The things that I've seen that have come out of the Edison, I personally have not seen people spinning on, you know, twirly things in the air. I've seen a lot of performers, band type things, singers, lounge singer, like, you know, not like the traditional lounge singers, but like kind of jazzy lounge singer type situations. I've not seen like the, you know, the crazy kind of, you know, thing that maybe they're famous for at the California location. And obviously they can't bring out some of that stuff because it is Walt Disney World, like Pam said. So I think that you're focusing a little too much on that. And really, one step inside, you'll see it's perfectly fine. I mean, it's not scary at all. It feels very loungy, kind of like Pam said. Like, you can go and relax in certain areas and have a drink and, you know, have conversation with people, and that's perfectly fine. Or you can go and grab a table and dine there and have a real meal. So it really kind of depends on what your plans are for the night. This does feel like a place that kind of ramps up a little bit more toward the evening hours. I think, you know, maybe lunchtime, it's a little, if you're a little scared, a little nervous to try it, I would probably suggest going at lunchtime, just because I think it's a little more subdued. Not, you know, again, not like it's terrible at night, but, you know, just a little more calm during the afternoon. And then it kind of gets the entertainment kind of starts going a little more toward the evening.
Mike, even you have a friend. You have a friend like me who makes you go do stuff.
Oh, and I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. I mean, but here's the thing. Okay, here's a kind of an analogy I come up. Does this place lean more like City Walk than Disney Springs? I mean, because this seems like it's more, I don't know, it's more risque.
If you mean more interesting?
No, yeah. I don't know.
Exactly. It's not, you know, yeah, absolutely. I think it's definitely an interesting experience. And City Walk is not risque, I will tell you that right now. So you will find out this weekend. I'm so excited about. But you are going to get your world rocked this weekend, Mike. And everything you thought is going to completely turn upside
old.
Down.
I'm old. I don't need my world rocked. I liked my world rocked in my 20s. My world is fine.
I just mean how you perceive Universal is completely going to get turned upside down. And you're not going to have the bias that you currently have, because it's not going to be as bad as you think it is. Okay. So. I All see right. those. Right. I see you throwing digs right there at Universal. It's
I'm just
okay.
saying.
It's
even like... even Mike Bankhead's trolling me about it on Twitter. So when Mike Bankhead's getting on, you're sending you pictures of Minions and stuff
exactly.
and Harry Potter stuff. It's
exactly.
crazy. All right, we got to move on because we got to get to the last restaurant we want to talk about. Maria and Enzo's right there next to the Edison in Disney Springs. I didn't get to experience this, but you guys did over the was that marathon or summer? I can't remember.
It was marathon.
Marathon. Yeah, it was a long trip. Not only were we running, we were just running everywhere that trip. I couldn't remember. So, Pam, give us the scoop, because isn't it kind of based on like a airplanes, like, or something like that?
Yeah.
And I love that
like
stuff.
Like an airline terminal, an old airline terminal from the 1930s. I love that Disney has continued to bring up the fact that these locations are part of Disney Springs, which used to be something completely different. And this one is the old airline terminal. And as you walk in, there's a few places, again, to sit up on that level that you walk in on. But most of the restaurant is down on a lower floor. And it has a beautiful, beautiful view of the water, of sunset, of things like that. So if you can time your visit during that, do that. This menu is typically going to have a lot of Italian-inspired items. it really has lots of things, you know, that you can choose from, but it's probably not going to be your only your traditional, what you think of when you think of a traditional Italian restaurant. Lots of different things to choose from there. We had, you know, just to start you off with the antipasti, we had the arancini, which I know so many of you have had that at Via Napoli, but they're the fried rice stuffed with something. And this, you know, was really good, had a great, great flavor to it. But they also have more traditional like calamari and a fried cheese with a spicy sauce.
Yes.
And things like that. They have some entree salads, which are, you know, all look really good. There's a lot of different choices, not just your traditional iceberg lettuce. I mean, you have things with orange and fennel and arugula or pickled beets and frisée lettuce, things like that. They also have a frisée lettuce that also has pancetta and a poached egg. And I actually had that. It was really good. Great if you're looking for something a little lighter. They also have some different kinds of Parmesan, which they have eggplant and chicken and also a meatball Parmesan. That's probably more traditional. They had different kinds of pasta. And they also had this beautiful little, I will butcher the word, so I'm not going to say it, but it's almost like a lasagna, only it's made with zucchini and it has some baked layers of pasta in there, a meat ragu. And it was really good. I know Steve got that. And I think Brian did too.
Brian did. Yeah.
And they both said it was good.
They ate it all. So
they ate it all. It comes in its own little personal like casserole.
Yes.
And yes. They both ate it all.
Yes, they did.
So anyways, ate that. But just lots of, they also have, some meat dishes like swordfish and ahi tuna, and strip steak. So they have fish and meat dishes as well. One of the cutest things about this restaurant is the way that the kids' meals come, and they are served on a little tray, like almost like a TV dinner tray or a tray that has little compartments, just like you would have been if you flew way back when flying was fun and they actually used to bring you a meal, right?
Right.
This is sort of what it looks like. It's so, so cute. But they have things like, you know, spaghetti and cannoli and things like that for the kids to choose from. They have three or four different choices in each of the characters. They had a lot of different cocktails. The menu really sort of focused in on those cocktails. There were a lot of, like, I kept looking through it. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is still just cocktails. So
the whole front page, cocktails or right, some sort of alcoholic beverage. Yes.
A lot of choices there for folks. So if you're looking for that, don't worry, you'll be able to find something. But they also had some great dessert, some great dolce. They had cannoli and a torta and sorbetto and all of that. They had gelato. So I don't think that anyone's going to have a hard time finding something here that they're going to like to eat. It's a really a good mix of things that are familiar and things that you may not be more familiar with, but ask the servers if you have a question and they'll kind of break it down for you. She did a great job when she described that little dish that Steve and Brian got like as being like lasagna, only not the long noodles, but you know, more a different kind of pasta and there's zucchini and stuff like that. And then that made sense. But if you didn't know what that was, then that was like, what is that? So anyways.
So Ricky, you were there. So let me ask you this. We got to wrap up because we're running a little bit long, but say like on a scale of 1 to 10, as far as fancy and family friendly, where would you say Maria and Enzo's hit? Say like Trails Inn's a 10 out of 10 on family friendly and say Victoria and Albert's is a 1. Where would you put Maria and Enzo's?
I think I would definitely put this at like a, you know, 8 or so. Like, I think it's very family friendly, especially because they have the tray of, you know, food for kids meal. I mean, the kids can really pick and choose. Like Pam said, it's kind of like a lunchroom, tray that they used to have back in the day. So you get to pick and choose what goes on your tray. And it's very, I think it's very kid friendly. So I'm going to say that it's like about an 8 or so. Yeah.
So what did you think of the atmosphere? Is it, real quick before we go, atmosphere wise, what would you say? Was it fancy? Was it comfortable? What was it?
No, it's very comfortable. It's very like open. So the whole, it's got very high ceilings. I think if you are seated down on the floor level, you may be seated a little close to people. We did not get seated on the floor level. We were on the upper level. So it was a little hard to judge. But, you know, it's very open, very welcoming.
They knew to section us off from the rest of the
They kept
us in our own location.
They did.
They saw us in the waiting area. They're like, we got special seats for you people.
Exactly. And,
Keep me away from the rest of the guests.
Exactly. Well, hopefully today, you know, we try to give you experiences or, you know, things just to think about for your upcoming trips. Again, a lot of times we're creatures of habit. We love our places that we go each and every trip. And that's kind of the nostalgia of a Walt Disney World vacation. You know, you make memories, you grow up, you go to Trails End, you know, every year, or, you know, maybe you hit Roaring Fork every morning when you're running out of Wilderness Lodge, whatever it is. But sometimes you need to make, you know, get outside there and try some of these new options. And hopefully today has brought you maybe one or two places you'll try this summer or moving forward on your next Disney vacation. And, you know, either way, you're probably heading through Chick-fil-A or somewhere and getting a breakfast here on a Friday morning because I am starving. I'm doing the same right with you. So sorry about that. If you're on a run or on the treadmill, we apologize for that sincerely. So don't forget today's show brought to you by our great friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. When it comes time to book that next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, even at Adventures by Disney, even Universal, drop by the Magic for Less. Check out all the great specials and work with the best. They're an earmarked platinum agency, which means their agents are thoroughly trained. They're passionate about the product, and they're going to put you in a great spot for an amazing vacation. That's the most important thing. It's that you get a great value out of your vacation, but most importantly is that you have the best vacation possible because you wait for years for these vacations to happen. You know, you picture it in your mind's eye, how you're going to walk with your kid down Main Street USA, or you're going to walk with your loved ones and experience a boat ride out on Seven Seas Lagoon, whatever it is. We get that. We want to make sure you have a great vacation. So check them out over at themagicforless.com. You will not be disappointed. Also, don't forget, use our Amazon affiliate link as you do that shopping this weekend. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. We appreciate that so much. And again, follow along on the social media and especially over on Facebook. We'll do some live Facebooking like Ricky always does. I'll try to do that this weekend as well. So again, it's at BeOurGuestMike on Facebook and Twitter and Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And again, we have the podcast account at BeOurGuestPod on Instagram and Twitter as well. All right, time to get out of here and let's get on with your weekend. It's going to be a big one for me, so follow along. We're going to have a good time. And I can't wait to get on the Southwest Jet Sunday morning, so can't wait for that. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you a great weekend. Whatever you do, stay safe, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.